Hi there, boys and girls. This is Jello Biafra, and you're listening to CFMU 93.3 FM. Why?
What I like the most is the actual performing. Once the concert starts, I'm in the music. When the concert ends, I want another one.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
Oliver, you perform cello and piano at an advanced level, and you're only 10. What age did you start?
I started 4 years ago. I went to a chamber music concert and decided that I wanted to be a musician. I like that the cello rests on you and not in the air like the violin. My mom said that I should also take piano, which I was happy to do. After 1 year of lessons, at age 7, I gave my debut recital. I told my mom that I wanted to give a recital to see what it is like to be a real musician. There was a cover story in the paper, and the theater was almost full. I have performed my first quartet at age 8 in the Vancouver Chamber Music Festival. I also performed the Mendelssohn D Minor Trio, Mozart Quartet, Schubert, the Death and the Maiden Quartet, and last year Beethoven's Duke Trio. And I'm the youngest member of the Greater Victoria Youth Orchestra, which is mostly teenagers and some young adults. In the last year's music festival in Victoria, I won first place in strings and first place in piano concerto. I go with the 16 years old and older.
Who's your favorite composer?
Mozart. It's perfect. Every note is in place and cannot be replaced. I like the way he moves from major to minor, and also the orchestration. I can always hear every instrument, and he uses the wind instruments in a way that makes it so beautiful. Like the way the oboe comes in the Serenade for Winds in B-flat major, Kettle 361. Also the way he uses the violins to create motion and tension in almost all his concertos and symphonies. The strings in the exposition of the D minor piano concerto, as well as his chamber music. His Requiem in D minor, which is the last piece he wrote, Kettle 626. He was only 35 when he died, and he didn't finish it. Süssmayr, his student, did. Another favorite is his piano concerto in D minor, Kettle 466, and his string quintet in G minor, Kettle 516, but also many others. Don Giovanni, Death Scene, Mozart is the best. Bach, Mendelssohn, Schubert, Schumann, Saint-Saëns. There are lots of composers whom I like, but not all their music is great. Like Beethoven, the second movement of his Seventh Symphony is so great. I performed with the Victoria Symphony in Victoria, the Haydn Cello Concerto in D major. I played with the Whatcom Symphony in Mount Baker Theater in Bellingham, Washington, where over 800 people came. I performed the Mozart Piano Concerto No. 22 in E-flat major, Kettle 482, and the Cello Hungarian Rhapsody by Papa. Most of my audience are adults who go to classical music concerts, but I have done one children's concert and was invited to do another one. I want an audience who loves music. Doesn't matter what age. I don't want children who are forced to come in my audience. Once there was this girl in an adult audience. she really wanted to be there. She came to me after the one recital and said, "You are the best cellist I have ever heard." I like a few cellists, but I like the most Rostro Povich, Yo-Yo Ma, and Leonard Rose. They have a gorgeous tone and continuous flow of sound. They also phrase the music so that it is expressive and alive. I like Yo-Yo for most of the Bach suite, but Rostro Povich for Haydn concertos, Saint-Saëns, Rose for Lillo. It depends. Pianist, I like Martha Argus' playing of Mozart, Alicia de la Rosa. I like the way Glenn Gould plays Bach, Evgeny Kissin, Horwitz, and others.
How much do you practice every day?
An hour and a half cello, and as for piano, that changes from half hour to an hour, depending on what I'm working on and what I have to perform. In addition, I fool around a lot. I play symphonies by ear, improvise, play cello music on the piano, and violin music by ear. I play on a half-sized cello that was awarded to me by the Ray Carlson Foundation. It is about 80-some years old and made in Germany. The structure is up to me. I kind of have no structure unless I have rehearsals and lessons. I have to fit my practice around it. Many days, I practice in the evening. I make my own plan. My mom used to play the piano and sing. She hums music in tune, but always in the wrong key. My father is not really musical, but very supportive. My mom drives me long distances for the best teachers and to my recitals and listens to me a lot. Sometimes she also practices with me. My brother Lennon plays violin and piano, and he composes and transposes music. I have performed one of his compositions in my recitals. I like to listen as we ride in the car, at home, and also I like to follow the score and listen. Some music I have the full score so I can follow each instrument.
What do you do when you're not playing music?
Ride my bike, play with friends, swim, go to diving classes, hike, write on the computer, and just have fun. I have never been to school, but I can see that if I went to school, I wouldn't have the time to practice and listen so much. I'm into my music most of the day. I plan to be a solo cellist and a good pianist too, and maybe also be a conductor. This year I will also start conducting lessons. I will be giving recitals, solo with orchestras, playing an orchestra and chamber music. I have been accepted to a couple of top music schools in the East Coast and LA. In a year or two, I will decide with my family where to move to. Cleveland Institute, Curtis, Juilliard, New England Conservatory, or Colburn. Or maybe Purcell School in England. I also want to go to Europe to see Mozart's house in Salzburg, Beethoven's home, go to Vienna and other musical centers. What I like the most is the actual performing. Once the concert starts, I'm in the music. When the concert ends, I want another one. I am booked for October 27th and 29th with another symphony in D.C. I will be playing the Saint-Saëns cello concerto.
Where can listeners find out about your recitals or CD?
At my site, www.oliveraldorf.com. A fan who came to one of my recitals made this website for me, oliveraldorf.com.
Oliver, OliverAldorf.com.
you have a child that's musically gifted, or the freedom that's required to raise that child.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely free to pursue his own thing all day long, however he wants, and it was his idea and not a parental coercion. So it makes it real fun. I'm a student in the whole thing. It's like this is a musical period in my life that I didn't expect. I'm getting a free ride, a lot of work, but now when I sit with this boy in the car and he puts music in, I get a music lesson because he tells me all this. He analyzes it as it goes. Now he changes to this key and listen how the oboe came in, and you hear this and you hear that, and now he's in this different key. And you know, so when I'm listening, I have a music appreciation class all the time. I had classical music experience. I accompany him still when he doesn't play pieces that are too difficult for me, which he is most of the time now. But his piano teacher accompanies him for free, and a lot of teachers give him a lot of extra time for free just because it's such a joy having a child like this. You don't often have that. For most teachers, it's a zero or a one in a lifetime that you get somebody like this. But in terms of exposure, you know, he heard me play. He heard his brother play that used to play all kind of pieces by ear, too. And we took him to concerts. And he caught on. He just, you know, when he was 3 and a half, kind of the same as his brother, he started playing stuff by ear, Beatles songs with chords. He actually could put chords to them by ear, and he was improvising, and he always loved the stage. So he already at 3 and a half, he said he wanted to be in a show. And we put him on stage and talent show, and he would play, and he didn't realize on stage you only have to do so many minutes, and he would improvise, and he played just like his own stuff and some Beatles songs and some nursery rhymes and Raffi and, you know, with chords and actual stuff. And, you know, they would have to come and whisper in his ear that it's enough because he would just stay there. He loved standing on stage and getting the applause. He would just stay there for a long time and bow and having a great time. And till this very day is when a concert comes to an end, even when he gives a whole recital by himself, at the end of the recital, he says, oh, why is it over? Book me another one. He really enjoys it. In fact, I would say that if there's any, you know, there's hardly ever any problems around practice or anything, but there is, you know, if he doesn't want to do technique or something, and I would tell him, well, you know, would you like to quit cello or something? I can almost, it's almost like a backward thing. Like, you know, I can get upset or something, and I can not threaten, I don't threaten my children, but like even if I suggest that maybe he shouldn't go on with it, he almost hears it like a threat. Like, no, I'll practice.
How to support a child that's very musical?
In terms of practice, I can't say that I'm very needed. Oliver may practice late at night, but he practices. And when he gets into it, he practices well. You know, like every human being, some practices are better than others, but I don't have to nag him or to make him or to do any of that. His lessons are often an hour and a half long because he can last and he stays focused. So the teachers just give him extra time. In fact, one of the best teachers of America, quite a few teachers from around the country already met him. One of them, the first cellist of the LA Symphony, he was performing in the Northwest, and he came to our island to meet Oliver and gave him a couple of lessons. And one lesson, he just stayed focused for 2 hours with not an interruption, not a story in the middle, nothing easy, just like focused hard work for 2 hours. And Oliver said he had no idea so much time has passed. He was an excellent teacher too. This is Ronald Leonard. He studied with Rose, and he's in his 70s now. Just really a superb teacher. His piano teacher every now and then wants to kind of check how far the prodigy goes. So, like, he would play something for him and say, play this by ear, which he never fails to. But one time he opened a book, some sonata of a composer Oliver never heard about, and said, I want you to look at the first 2 lines only with your eyes, not move your fingers, not touch the piano. And in about a minute or two, I'm going to take the book away from you, and I want you to play what you saw. And this is not even a style he was familiar with. He took the book away from him, and the kid played it with not a single mistake. He's a great accompanist. He accompanied his brother in concerts, and he accompanied me when I sing, and he's probably the best accompanist I ever had. I can make mistakes, and he'll follow me. So when he looks at music, he learn so easily and he can choose a piece by looking at it. That's something that took me a while to believe him or to understand until this cellist from LA told me, yeah, when they have perfect pitch, they hear the music when they see it. Because I play the piano and I almost got exasperated with him when he would, you know, like you'd say, well, why don't you choose a new piece? And I'll go to a new sonata of Mozart or Beethoven or whatever. And he would go through a book and I would say, how about this one? And he would look at it for a few seconds and said, no, not this one. And he'll go on and on. And I said to him, well, how can you tell? You didn't even try it. Why don't you play it a little, see what it sounds like? He said, I looked at it. I know what it sounds like. You know, if it's a piece that I love, then I would say to him, well, I don't think so. Let me play it for you a little. So I would play a little. And he said, I don't like it. I told you. After that teacher told me, he said, look, he actually hears it in his head. He does not need to play it to know what it sounds like. I mean, I asked him if he actually hears all the instruments when he looks at a full score, and he said, not quiet, but he gets the music. But if he looks at a cello piece or a piano piece, he reads it almost right away like he has practiced it for a long time. I don't get it.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
Who's Got Game, the Ant or the Grasshopper? By Tony and Slide Morrison. Foxy G and his ace Kid A were hanging in the park. They romped each day till the sun's last ray and didn't stop till dark. They climbed trees, tore up their knees, dunked balls and shot hoops from afar, swam in the pool where the water was cool and sang with their air guitar. One hot day as they lay in the shade, Kid A turned to his friend and said,
get to split, Foxy. There's something fun. Time to dump this place. Get back in the race. There's a lot of work to be done.
Hold on, I just thought of a tune. Listen, my kid, this will rocket the moon. Foxy raised his wings, rubbed them hard, making music so deaf it drew a crowd.
That's cool, Foxy G, but listen to me.
Vacation's gone.
The day's getting short. Can't hang forever on the basketball court.
And split, Kid A. Who's in your way? As for me, Foxy G, I have to let my music out. I have to groove, move, prove, disprove. I have to riff and blast and shout.
Oh, man, I can't catch you up some other day.
Kid A did the chores and shot the stores, and day and night out of sight, Foxy's music blew clear and wild. It was so sweet with its outrageous beat. Kid A began to dance. He popped his fingers, shook his hips, a big fat grin on his lips. Hard at work or fast asleep, he couldn't stop his dancing feet. He greased the stove, raked the leaves, covered the shrubs so they wouldn't freeze. He heaped and piled and baked and stored jams to be spread on slices of bread when winter howled at the door. Still out in the park was Foxy G, where the wind began to bite. He wanted to finish one more tune before the coming night. Unfolding his wings from a cardboard box, he saw their edges crumble. He tried to patch the delicate parts, but his fingers only fumbled. Weak with hunger and shivering cold, he could not make the faintest sound. No grooves, no moves, no riff, no dips, no rips, no riffs or roughs, no pleas or dips. Battle and shame, he left the park. There was nothing else to do but swallow his pride and drag his wings back to the neighborhood, trying not to shake, to break, or quake. He knocked on Kid A's door. I'm cold, kid, I've nothing to eat. My wings are freezing and I'm dead on my feet. I'm not gonna make it out here with no heat. So say, my friend, can I come in? Kid A munched a donut and scoffed his friend.
You cold, hungry, no place to stay? Look at you, man, well, what can I say? I planned ahead and stirred up things. You wasted time with those funky wings.
Foxy tried to smile, but it didn't work. The tears in his eyes made him feel like a jerk. He knew he was pitiful and ought to say please, but his pride returned as he fell to his knees. I fed your purse and fed your soul. You can't spare me a donut hole.
You should have known what tomorrow would bring. Then you wouldn't be begging for anything.
I'm an artist, that's what I do. You love my music, so respect me too. I'm an artist, that's what I do. You love my music, so respect me too. How can you say I never worked a day? Art is work. It just looks like play. Kid A smirked while he said,
you think feeling is better than dealing, but I'm standing, not kneeling, in my family's bed. Where's your head? You sleep in a box. I've got a bed.
But music's been good for you and me. It ought to deserve your sympathy. Play your own song, kid. Don't play me. I create.
Now you think.
Your stomach's full, your bed is warm, your house is clean, but where is your dream? Know what I mean? Dream?
What I know is when there's snow here at my house, you show. I think it's best if you just blow.
Foxy stumbled off into the night, his head held high, his arms wrapped tight around his wings with all his might. His day is darkest when I leave with all my music up my sleeve. Name, blame, fame, shame, the question is, who's got game?
Radio Free School, a show by, for, and about home learners.
The end!
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.